His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our revered spiritual master, appeared in this world 124 years ago and subsequently spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He is properly recognized as the most towering spiritual personality of the present age, and in the whole history of India, the long-standing spiritual history of India, replete with innumerable great spiritual personalities, Srila Prabhupada is certainly one of the great towering figures. So certainly, Srila Prabhupada was a great spiritualist. That's undisputable. But in one sense, he was also the greatest materialist, in as much as he knew how to use the material energy most expertly. What does that mean? He knew how to engage the material energy in Krishna's service. He was expert in doing that. Understanding that everything belongs to Krishna, he used everything for Krishna's service, and thus he could accept opulence, lots of money, and engage it in the service of Krishna. He wasn't enamored by the money that came to him, the prestige that came to him, the women that came to him. Unfortunately, many Indian swamis who went to the West became enamored by these things, and especially by the women who came to them with spiritual hopes. And unfortunately, some of the yogis, swamis, gurus who went to the West became infatuated by the attractiveness of Western women. But Srila Prabhupada dealt with all these enticing elements of the material energy, which spiritualists usually avoid. Kanaka Kamini, gold and women. Spiritualists are advised, keep away from all these things because they're very dangerous. They'll make you fall down. They won't make you fall down. No one forces anyone to fall down from their position. But they hold the prospect of great enjoyment. And so even an advanced spiritualist can become disturbed by such things, but Srila Prabhupada never was. He used all these things without getting entangled in the material energy, without being enamored by them. Unfortunately, also, many of his disciples tried to do as he did by using material opulence, prestige, women in Krishna's service, but they weren't as strong as Srila Prabhupada. They succumbed. It's an unfortunate history. Another aspect of Srila Prabhupada's using the material energy in Krishna's service was in his strategy for preaching Krishna consciousness in India. Now we may think, well, why preach Krishna consciousness in India when there's so much Krishna consciousness also in India? Srila Prabhupada came from Vrindavan, the land of Krishna, and preached Krishna consciousness in the West. We can understand that the West needs Krishna consciousness. We may think that, but in India there are already so many Krishna temples, and why did Srila Prabhupada build more temples? Well, Srila Prabhupada understood that Indians, apart from being spiritually minded, they're also materially minded, actually materialistic. I said that Srila Prabhupada is the greatest materialist. That's a bit tongue-in-cheek. But Indians, at that time especially, there was a lot of propaganda in India that India has become very backward because we're too much interested in religious things, and now India needs material development. And there's a thirst, or there's a craving for the material goods that the Western countries had produced. That in those days, I know in the 1970s I first came to India, a cheap Western watch, you're just wearing a cheap watch, and people would crowd around, oh, look at it, as if it's the most precious thing in the world. It's something like a sleeping bag. People would say, oh, something wonderful, Western, and there was so much enamored by that. So Srila Prabhupada also appealed to the mentality of Indian people at the time by showcasing his Western disciples who had very seriously taken up Krishna consciousness. And he would say, you see, they've given up meat and fish and eggs. They've given up intoxication. They've completely dedicated themselves as first-class sadhus, completely after Krishna. Just, you are so thirsty for materialistic things, they're so thirsty for Krishna. Why don't you be like that? That was Srila Prabhupada's implied message. Srila Prabhupada would seemingly boast to Indian people that I went to the West with 40 rupees. Now I have, in just a few years, I have properties worth more than 40 crores. What businessman can expect to expand so quickly? And you may wonder, well, why is Srila Prabhupada saying that? Huh? Why? Because, especially in India he would say this, because that would impress people. In India, if you say, well, I speak spiritual philosophy, you say, come on, everyone's uncle and everyone on the street corner is speaking some spiritual philosophy. Everyone thinks they know everything. They read one or two books on Vedanta or something, and they think they're a highly learned, spiritually realized person. So Srila Prabhupada, being the greatest spiritualist, to many people, it didn't impress them as much as his, what you might call his material achievements. Srila Prabhupada built new temples in India. Why new temples? There are already so many temples. Well, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make temples where he could showcase Krishna consciousness as he was presenting it. It's not a Hindu religion per se, but as something that should be taken very seriously. Krishna should be worshipped in the best possible manner. Once when Srila Prabhupada was asked why he was building a temple in Vrindavan when there are already so many temples there, and when his predecessors, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, hadn't personally endeavored to build temples, why was he doing that? The six Goswami they would simply rest under a different tree each night. Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, I could also rest under a different tree each night, but if I did that, you wouldn't come to see me because you think someone is important if they have a big temple. You'll only take them seriously if they show something materially. Therefore, I need to build these temples so that you will come and listen to my message. It's your materialism, not my materialism. Of course, I'm paraphrasing or extrapolating what Srila Prabhupada was saying. So Srila Prabhupada knew that unless his society established opulent temples in India, that people in India, they wouldn't take him seriously. There are so many sadhus in India, but unless they can show some chamatkar, some miracles, or unless they do some severe austerities like standing on without sitting or lying down for years and years together so that their legs wither away, which is completely useless. But unless they do that, or unless they have many followers, or unless they have big temples, people don't take them seriously. They want to see something external. They can't appreciate if someone is a great devotee, for all their spirituality, they don't have that much insight to perceive who is a great personality unless they see something big externally. So maybe they're not so wonderfully spiritual. Definitely in India there is a culture of spirituality, but it's mixed up with some materialism also, and Srila Prabhupada knew that and he appealed to that. His building temples, opulent temples, was to attract people to come, and then he would preach to them, his disciples would preach to them, give them the actual message of Krishna consciousness. He instituted the life membership program, whereby people, well-to-do people, people who could afford it, would give a sizable donation, and then they'd receive a membership card, and they'd receive Srila Prabhupada's books, and they could stay at the ISKCON centers. So Srila Prabhupada was on one hand appealing to wealthy people's piety. They're wanting to donate to a good religious cause. At the same time, he was appealing to their sense of prestige. They get a card, they can say, I am a life member, knowing that you have to give a hefty donation to do so. And he also, by giving the facility of staying in the center, the ISKCON center, he gave them the opportunity to live comfortably for 3 days with the devotees and absorb the spiritual atmosphere. And of course, he also gave his books by which they could benefit immensely by going through Srila Prabhupada's books. So Srila Prabhupada, feeling the pulse of the pious Indian people, he appealed to their sense of prestige, their sense of wanting to give something for a good cause, and also gave them the opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness, and in this way raised funds for printing more books and building more temples. Srila Prabhupada is in this way an expert materialist. Being inspired by Krishna, he knew how to appeal to different people's different kinds of mentalities and engage them in Krishna's service, not necessarily for entirely spiritual reasons in the beginning. And Srila Prabhupada's strategy worked. This kind of approach has spread Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada presented it, within India. ISKCON has become a very prestigious and well-known and well-respected movement. Many, many people have joined. And this kind of approach, appealing to people's material aspirations as well as their spiritual aspirations, it continues to work in the kind of preaching in which people are told that, well, your career is your devotional service, because people have this idea, I have to have a good career so that I can get enough money and be prestigious and this and that. But if you tell them, well, your career is your devotional service because, what? And then people will respect you and you can preach to them. I think that's the idea. It's perfect for attracting pious and materialistically minded Hindus by, it's not exactly misrepresenting the philosophy, but it's putting an emphasis on something which could be true and making it a general principle. Your career can be devotional service if your actual aim is only to serve Krishna, but under the guidance of your spiritual master, you see that the best way for you to serve Krishna is by doing this career, and you have no personal motivation in doing so, then it's pure devotional service. Otherwise, it's mixed devotional service. It's not the same as the pure devotional service that Srila Prabhupada came to preach, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to preach. But it works, in as much as many, many people take to the process of Krishna consciousness, of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, chanting the holy names, becoming initiated, and so on. Whether they actually have a clear understanding of what pure devotional service is questionable. If they really think that dovetailing their material desires and maintaining their material desires for a so-called good career is equivalent to pure devotional service, that is questionable. So ISKCON in this way, by preaching this, has reached many middle-class Hindus, and many not also. Apart from Padyatra programs, the huge village population of India, it remains largely neglected by ISKCON's preaching, unfortunately. The farm communities haven't been developed. Srila Prabhupada wanted there to be widespread village preaching. So in one niche, you can say, to the middle-class people of India, ISKCON's preaching has been very successful. I've been watching many of the little video clips that appear on ISKCON Desire Tree, transferred to YouTube now, about how I came to Krishna consciousness. And I must admit, I was a bit shocked by the recurring theme of devotees, Indian devotees, maybe they were told to do it, I don't know, introducing themselves, saying, my name is such and such, and these are my educational qualifications, and I work for such and such a company in such and such a position, introducing themselves like that, as if that's their real identity, as if that's something that's, when you're speaking to devotees, that's how you have to introduce yourself. And we do meet devotees who also say, yeah, the first thing they tell you is, I work for such and such a company. They trot out their material qualifications. I was a bit shocked like that. They came to Krishna consciousness, and they'll speak very nicely that now I realize that the goal of life is to serve Krishna and go to the spiritual world. And by several of them also said that now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I've taken the devotional service, I become a better person, I don't get angry so much, I'm able to concentrate more on my work. Really? Okay, but to become a better person, that's a side effect. To want to go to the spiritual world, that's very good. To want to bring other people into Krishna consciousness, that's very good. But I was listening carefully as these stories were being told, how I came to Krishna consciousness and the realizations what devotees were having. But what to me was noticeable by its absence was devotees from India saying, now I realize that this whole material existence is completely miserable, and this idea of becoming materially successful is nonsense, and this whole material civilization is just some big phantasmagoria. I didn't hear anyone say it. It's there in Prabhupada's books, and it's there as a reality all around us. So they've taken up the spiritual side very seriously, but it seems they may still be enamored by the material side. There's something very important, essential, is missing, because unless and until one becomes disgusted with the prospects of trying to enjoy material life, then the strong impetus to become Krishna conscious in the fullest, truest sense is going to be missing. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bahushakai anantascha buddhiya vyavasayanam bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam. If one is very strongly attached to material enjoyment and opulence, then samadhana vidhiyate, that vivasayatmika buddhi, that fixed intelligence which is required for full spiritual perfection, that will not come about. So Srila Prabhupada did write in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should preach according to time, place, and circumstance, and one may not preach so much to Indians about renunciation, that's there. But there should come a point, even if in the beginning, if we bring people in and people are enamored by the mixture of piety and opulence, but there should come a point in which people understand that everything in this world is meaningless and useless without Krishna. And that intrinsically, we don't belong in this material world, and intrinsically, there's no need for us to become so-called materially successful. And intrinsically, there's no such thing as material success. So Srila Prabhupada was the greatest materialist in the sense that he knew how to use the material energy in Krishna's service. And he was never enamored by the material energy. So we can, if we're expertly following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, we can use this material energy, but not be enamored by it. Never think that if I have a lot of money, a lot of followers, big buildings, that is the sign that I'm doing well. There's a danger in thinking like that, in that we tend to measure our Krishna consciousness in terms of our achievements. But we should know that we have nothing to do with this material world. We can live in this material world as servants of Krishna. And if Krishna, out of his desire, gives us some material facilities to utilize as stewards of his energy, then that is his wish. We are simply servants. We have nothing to do with this material world. Hare Krishna. Dante Nidhaya Chunakang Padaya Nipatya Kritva Chakakushatameta Daham Ravimi Hey Sadhava Sakala Eva Vihaya Durat Shaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanuraga Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhavyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo